Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, happy Labor Day, everybody. Bob Getty and Dima Mixon. We're in the Southern Bank Course Studio on Labor Day, getting ready to talk to head football coach Will Hall. Opening segment of our show today is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a great place for dinner tonight. Great place to cater this upcoming tailgate when Southeastern Louisiana comes to the Rock this Saturday night. So we appreciate Dickey's Barbecue. We're broadcasting on this holiday afternoon from the Southern Bank Course Studio here in Hattiesburg. Football season is here. Golden Eagles lose the opener 31-0 to Kentucky in what can only be described as a very bizarre night. The head football coach, Will Hall, joins us. And, Coach, I'm always grateful for you being on the show. We do want to get into the football game, but it was such a weird night. And let me run through this scenario very quickly, and then I'd like to get your thoughts as to when you were advised of some of these things and what this scenario was like. Game scheduled to start at 7:45, doesn't kick off until 10:15 Eastern time. You play until 12:03 a.m. You're just getting into the third quarter when the game is stopped again because of lightning in the area. And then a half an hour later, which is 12:33 a.m. Eastern time, which is where you're at, the decision is made to end the football game. Can you run us through that scenario quickly, Coach, when you learned about these delays and postponements and what it was like to keep your team, you know, involved for 2 hours and then the decision to end the football game?
Yeah, slightly before our first group scheduled to go out to warm up, we learned of the first delay. And every time it's delayed, you know, it's a 20 to 30 minute window. You know, they give you a 20 to 30 minute deal, and then if it strikes again, it resets, and if it strikes again, it resets. And so, you know, obviously that went on from, you know, the game was supposed to start at 7:45, so first group warm-up was going out, you know, probably an hour before that, and I don't have our timeline right in front of me, but then, you know, it just kept going and kept going and kept going. The thing you run into is, you know, you number one, emotionally, you don't want to keep getting them up and ready and going up and down and up and down and up and down. It's already been a long day because the 7:45 kickoff is an extremely late kickoff anyway. And so it had been an emotionally charged day. Our kids were really excited about this game and wanted to play it, you know, and then thought if we'd played better, we had a chance to win a big game. And you eliminate them going up and down. After you do that once or twice, you kind of shut that down and just say, look, whenever they truly let us go, we'll go. We don't want to keep getting up and down. And then it runs into a nutrition deal too, you know, because we ate pregame meal at 4:15 Eastern for a 7:45 kick, you know, which is 3.5 hours, and now it's 10 o'clock and you're playing. So you've got all your halftime nutrition that you end up running through before the game. Kentucky was nice enough to send us some of their stuff from, you know, their great facilities and all that. They ended up bringing us some food, so we appreciate them for that. But just there's no handbook for it. You're always at an extreme disadvantage with the visiting team. Y'all remember, I think we were in a regional or super regional over the last few years, and we've been in lightning delays. It's a little different there because the baseball team's in a three-game series, so they can go, you know, they can go back to the hotel, which is what I think our opponent did. But we didn't have a hotel. You know, we're in a one-game deal, so all that was, you're kind of just stuck, right, you know, in a in a locker room. But, man, look, it is what it is. Our kids played extremely hard. We hit. We were physical. We just didn't execute well early on in some opportunities we had.
And we do want to get to that, but can you, just one more question in regard to the delays. 12:33 a.m. decision made to stop. How did that come about, Coach? How is a decision made to end a football game?
Well, but, you know, you got a lot of moving parts. You've got the SEC. You've got the Sun Belt. You've got TV, ESPN. You've got both administrations. There's a 1:30 limit, which is an SEC rule. The game's got to be over by. We wasn't going to be able to start the game back up till after 1:30, looking at the lightning in the area. So now, you know, you're getting into a, you know, you're going to have to spend an extra night, come back and play the game again the next day. Obviously, we've got a season to play. Kentucky's got a season to play. You got the health and well-being of the kids. You know, there's financials involved with all that, you know, and just a lot of moving parts that go into that. And, you know, we wanted to play the game. Our kids were disappointed. They knew, our kids know, especially this morning after watching the tape, that we won a lot of one-on-one battles. We were physical. We didn't play well all the time. They wanted to finish that game and finish playing well. We're just a little too emotionally charged after sitting on go for about 8 hours, you know, early in the game. We're just a little bit too emotionally charged. We lost our mind a little bit, didn't play as well as we could have. We played hard and physical, but we just didn't play well in some critical opportunities that could have really made the difference.
Well, you know, you get that interception by Dylan Lawrence to start the game, and then it just seems like everything was against you guys. Obviously, you talked about a little bit with the delays. I mean, you get the tip pass into the hands of the Kentucky player when you feel like you're driving. I mean, I think Rodemaker hit Dennis Jackson for a 30-yard gain like almost immediately after that interception. Then that interception just came back, and then you think of that drop pick six, and then you think of the end zone interception. Just so many things just went wrong at bad times. But I mean, it really felt like, I mean, outside of those three plays, I mean, it's probably 17-14 at worst.
Yeah, like I said, Dave, our players this morning, you know, they understand what we've got to do to correct it. There's an extreme amount of confidence within this building today. We think we've got a really good football team. I'm extremely disappointed that we didn't play cleaner early. We are extremely disappointed that we didn't, because, you know, our kids know it doesn't happen much. I think since the 2000 season, you know, you're talking about from 2000 all the way to now, the Sun Belt's 12-169 versus SEC teams. We really felt like we had a chance to be number 13. And so we're disappointed, because we think we've got a good football team now. We think we're going to be in this arena consistently from here on out, to where we've got a chance to be that next one that pops them. And it doesn't happen much. But and we just didn't play well. We played hard. We played physical. We had kids winning one-on-ones on the edges. You know, in the box, we had kids winning. We just were a little too emotionally charged, and we've got to calm down and address that and fix it moving forward, because we got a chance to have a really good year. But we hit the flea flicker right off the bat. We get the interception. We hit the flea flicker. We're rolling. And the next play, we got an RPO. Should have handed the ball off. If we hand the ball off, we're probably going to pop another run. We've got numbers right there. And we're going to be in position to score, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, you know. And then it's 7-0. You get down in the low red. You got another chance at a field goal or a touchdown, and we throw a pick. So we lose 2 points, two scoring opportunities. And then the very next drive, you drop a for sure pick six. And if we make all three of those plays, you know, we're up somewhere between 13 and 21. It's either 13-7 at the worst or 21-7 at the best. And when you're playing on the road versus the number 22 ranked roster by the NFL standards, you got to make those plays early. And we didn't, but we can. You know, in the past here, we've not been good enough to be in position to make those plays. We were good enough to do that. I'm disappointed we didn't make it. Our kids are disappointed. But we're excited about being at home this week. We really believe we got a good football team and think it's fixing to be a good year, and we're working hard to fix those things and get back at it this week.
You couldn't really run the ball well on Saturday. And I know a lot of these are mixed stats because it's only half a game, so you really can't judge it off that. But obviously you're going up against a good defensive front. But how did you feel like the offensive line push was? I mean, it just felt like there was no push on that offensive line. I thought the pass protection was pretty good, but the push on the offensive line for the run game wasn't really there.
Well, you know, if you go back and watch the second play of the game, if we hand that ball off, which we didn't, it's supposed to be about a 40-yard run. You know, so there's a little bit of give and take there, if you will, versus, you know, one of the top D-lines in the country. Kentucky's not really a team that lets you run the football. You know, outside of Georgia in the past few years, that's just kind of what they do. They play in such a way as to defend the run. You know, that's just kind of how they play ball. I mean, Georgia had I'm looking at it right now. Georgia had 100. I mean, they only gave up over 100 yards rushing last year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. You know, so I mean, Florida had 69 yards rushing on them last year. They just don't. They don't give up a lot of rushing yards. That's how they play defense. They want you to throw it. And I think there's some things our O-line could have done better. But I think versus one of the top D-lines in the country, there's some things we did well and some things we can build on moving forward.
We're talking to head football coach Will Hall. Football season is here. We're looking at game number 2, just a few days away. Continue our conversation with Coach right after this. Still to come, Lee Roberts, lots to talk about. Southern Miss football on the air. Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. We want to get right back to the conversation with head football coach Will Hall. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street. Great supporters of the university. Go get all your swag there this weekend before the first home game. All right, head coach Will Hall comes back on the program. All right, coach, we've gone through the weird scenarios, and I think we're all in agreement. 2 or 3 plays would have made a really big difference. We've all been talking about your new quarterback all fall, so I want to get your analysis of Tate Rodemaker's performance. I know it did seem to me that there were a lot of plays he was under pressure. He was sacked twice, but overall, I think everybody that watched is pretty encouraged by his ability, Coach.
Yeah, you know, 13 of 19 for 126. He had 2 critical errors. You know, and then we had another 3rd down where he just threw it a little bit too early to Larry Simmons. So I'd like to have those 3 plays back, and he would too. And outside of that, versus one of the top defenses, you know, in the country year in, year out, you know, it wasn't a terrible opening performance. We've got to improve. We will. He will. We will. You know, all those things. We'll play better around him. But, you know, like I said, I mean, they were the number 6 ranked defense in the country last year. You know, in total defense, I think. We've got to play better. We got to play better all the way around. Our kids know that. Physically, we did some really good things, and we've just got to slow our mind, get the play call, and not be as emotionally charged. Like I said, our kids were going there to win the game. And we were in position a lot of times early to have a chance to do that, and just didn't get it done. No.
Thoughts behind the attempted fake punt, Coach, right before the end of the first half?
Yeah, so we had gone 3 and out, 3 consecutive drives. They had scored on the previous 2 drives to make it 17 to nothing. You know, you're in a situation called the middle eight right there with the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half. So, you know, where a lot of momentum can be swung, we were getting the ball to start the second half. I felt like, which leads you more towards punting in that situation than not punting, but I felt like from where we were punting at and the fact that we had gone three and out three consecutive drives and they had scored two consecutive times, I felt like if we could sneak one in and extend that drive and rest our defense and keep the ball and get some points right there to make it 17-3 or 17-7 at the half with us getting the ball back, we had a chance to get back in the football game because the game was kind of slipping away from us right there. It was only a four-yard deal. They wasn't ready for it. They didn't know Ethan was in there. We hit him, and I thought he'd get four. And we had him. We had him, and they had a great player make a great play. He came off a block and folded in, and he tackled Ethan. And if he don't, we're going to get it. And so that was the scenario. We were extremely tired on defense. They had all the momentum. They had scored two consecutive times. We were fixing to give them great field position again. And I just felt like we were at such a disadvantage right there that we needed to try to make a play. And it didn't work, so it was a bad call. But there's your scenario behind why we did it.
And it's one of those plays where if it does work, then the fan base is talking about it this week.
If it works and we go down and score, the whole game's changed. 17-3,
exactly.
17-7, and we're getting the ball back to start the second half, which is why we did it, you know. So it is what it is.
And then that's why I don't like people who criticize calls like that, especially against a Kentucky where you have to shoot your shot. You can't just keep punting it back to them, you know, but especially if the defense is
tired. We went to the game to win, too.
Right,
we went to the
exactly.
game to win. We didn't go to Kentucky to save face. We were going there to win, and that's
right.
why we called the fake punt. We were trying to get momentum back on our side to win.
Correct. Looking ahead, Coach, this week, it's kind of like you get to put that one just behind you. I view that as a game where you saw a lot of positives. It was a weird game. You're putting it behind you. You got a whole schedule in front of you, starting this week with Southeastern Louisiana, the Lions coming in. First thoughts on them and just kind of the response you're expecting to see from your team this week.
Yeah, so the first thing for us is concentrating on ourselves and playing with that same passion and energy, but in a controlled manner. You know, we've got to control our emotional state better between getting the play call and then the snap of the football, you know. And I think we will. You know, I think we'll learn from that. But we got to play with that same passion and energy. And growing this week, we're excited to be back home. When you look at this past week, it's a scary game. Their last three opponents in situations like this, last year versus South Alabama, I believe it was a 7-7 game at halftime and then 21-7 at the end of the third quarter. The year before that, Louisiana beat them 24-7. And the year before that, La Tech beat them 45-42. So they're an opponent that has played the Sun Belt / Conference USA opponents really, really well over the past several years. And Tulane kind of got a hold of them this past week, but that game was 14-0, and Southeastern Louisiana had the ball in the red zone right before the half, about to make it 14-3 or 14-7 at halftime, and they threw a 99-yard pick six to make it 21-0. So their game with Tulane was very similar to ours in Kentucky. It was much closer than what the score said. So they're an opponent that's got good players that can play, and we've got to have a great week of practice and continue to improve, you know, and have a good showing this week.
Coach, defensively, obviously, when you give up 31 points, you're not happy. What do you think needs to be – what needs to be addressed defensively before Saturday night?
Well, you know, we had short field a lot, you know, on their scoring drives. You know, if you look at that, I mean, one of their drives – I mean, they started on the 48, the 41, then they started on our plus 32 when they, you know, and then they started on our plus 29. So, you know, they had short field position a lot. I was disappointed we gave up the explosive play late, to give them that last touchdown. Outside of that, though, you know, in a normal field position game, I thought we were running and hitting. We'd like to get more pass rush than what we got, and I think we will. But we won. So I thought we played extremely well out on the edges and the perimeter. Will James, Dylan Lawrence, and Kobe Cage setting edges on some of their jet sweeps and stuff. You know, we hit their quarterback a few times really hard. He did a great job running early and scrambling, extending plays. We've got to block on our receivers. He made a huge play on 3rd and 8 in a scramble situation where we could have held him to a field goal early in the red zone. We've got to be in our spots and not allow that to happen. But I was really pleased with our physicality and the way we hit. We just got to, same thing, in all three phases, OD and kicking game, we were just a little emotionally charged, man. We from the moment we got the play call to the time the ball was snapped, we were so into it that we've got to breathe and think just a little bit more and execute a little bit better.
Yeah, the SEC announcers did mention early in the game that the Kentucky quarterback, they speculated, had never been hit in his career so far like he was getting hit early in the ball game. So I think that speaks to the to the effort that the team was putting out. All right, you know, as Dima and I were talking before we went on the air, and as you've alluded to, now that game is behind you, and as you look at the schedule, I think it's fair to say that Southern Miss is capable of winning any game that remains on the schedule, Coach. What is your message today as you get ready to really kick into the season to the Southern Miss Nation?
Yeah, well, just with our players is consistency. You know, we've got to be more consistent with how we execute the play. We've got to continue to improve. We're going to take it 1 week at a time. I told y'all before this Kentucky game, we've got 12 weeks of games. We're going to take all 12 of them one game at a time and continue to improve. I like our roster. I like what we built. I love how these kids play. I love their competitive nature and their energy. And I really believe we've got a good football team. And I'm excited to play this. I'm excited for this week of practice. I'm excited to go play this game this week and get this one from this past week behind us and continue to move forward, because I think our fans are going to really enjoy watching this group play this season.
All right, Coach. We sure appreciate your time. I know it was a late night for you, and you haven't had much chance to rest, but you put up with us, and we're grateful to you for that. We look forward to talking to you next Monday about the Southeastern game.
Yeah, thanks so much, Bob. Appreciate you, Dima. And, appreciate y'all having me on. And look forward to talking to y'all again next week, man, to the top.
Same here, Coach. Coach Will Hall. I think that's right, Dima. I don't want to try to be the guy that's always looking at the rosy picture, maybe when you shouldn't. But, you know, that you can really take not much from the Kentucky game when you look at the rest of the schedule. From what I saw early in the first quarter, this team does look capable of competing with everybody that's on the schedule to me.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I think a very much a clear upgraded quarterback from last season. The pass protection looked good. The run game was a little concerning, in my opinion. But I think, all in all, I mean, I agree with them. The score doesn't implicate how really contested that game was. I mean, Kentucky kind of got away, but you only played half a game. I don't know. I'm not on the board of the whole season's over. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going
on. Let's give this a chance before we just give up, okay? Lee. All right, Lee Roberts is next. He was there. He'll analyze quarterback play. That's what he knows best when we come back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, I want to thank Campus Bookmart for sponsoring that second segment interview with Coach Will Hall. This segment with Lee Roberts, sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, right there in the shadow of the rock. Great place for lunch. Great place to meet your friends. Always a great place to have a good time. Also want to thank our friends at Mobay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street, official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. Check out their Facebook page and go down and better get some great beignets and good coffees at Mobay Beignet. Lee Roberts, a very good friend of ours, we're happy to say, is a regular contributor to the Eagle Hour, color analyst for the radio network, former great quarterback at Southern Miss. And, well, let me go straight to you about this because you know more about it probably than anybody. And I want you to evaluate Tate Rodemaker in his first appearance as a Golden Eagle quarterback, Lee.
You know, I'll say this. You know, when he's able to stand in the pocket, when we have a, you know, a good pocket presence, the guy can step into his throw and be very, very accurate. And I think he's going to be a guy that can do a lot of great things. I still think that we will see Ethan Crawford at some point too, but I think it's just having both guys will be a huge, huge benefit for us. Yeah, the outcome Saturday didn't turn out the way we wanted, but I felt like he's very accurate. He knows the game, maybe forced a few throws here and there, but made some big throws. So I think just with time, I think this week will be a great week at home to try to really get some things going. I know this is a great week of preparation for these guys because they need to get on the right track. But I know this team went into Kentucky with high expectations. He was one of them. You know, he's not a guy that's going to give you a bunch of, you know, he's not going to be a very vocal guy. He's a guy that's just going to, he wants to earn your respect by what he does on the field. And I think he showed a lot of promise on Saturday.
We kind of talked with Will Hall about this, and I want to get your thoughts on this. We kind of talked about it off air, but, you know, when you look at that game, obviously 31-0, in my opinion, is such a flawed view if you just didn't watch the game. I mean, you look at, I mean, you get that interception and then the tipped interception on, like, the very next play and then the almost pick six, the interception in the end zone. So many things, like key plays that could have made that game way more competitive than it was, or at least score-wise than it appeared to be.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, there are certain things in football that if it happens, and all you need is one of those things to happen,
right,
and it can really turn the momentum. And it's a game of momentum. It really is. And once Kentucky got that momentum on Saturday, we just couldn't get it back. You know, I'll say that one of the biggest plays I really remember that Southern Miss making on Saturday was the third and long, the pass to, I think it was Kyron Heath down the middle of the field, and a guy caught it. He caught it and just carried guys for a big first down. I mean, your backs are against the wall, and yet here you got a new quarterback, a transfer tight end that connect and do really good things. I mean, that right there is a huge play at a huge moment. Yeah, it didn't go on for really any success. However, you complete a third and long like that, I think they'll continue to build on things like that. But, yeah, if you take any one of those plays and let them go in our favor, it could have been a huge, huge difference.
Lee, Southern Miss defense gave up 317 yards, I believe, 317 yards in effectively a half of a football game. And what concerned me a little bit were that there were some times it really looked like their quarterback could run up the middle, that the middle of the field opened up some. And the defensive line is, I think, the strongest part of Southern Miss. What was your observation defensively of the front seven as well as the backs, and where would you think we need to see some improvement defensively?
Well, I'll just say this, and, you know, we kind of talked last week about this Kentucky team, and it's probably the best roster that they've had in a while, and they showed it on Saturday. Not that we didn't play good, but I just think Kentucky played really good at certain times. And, yeah, and a team like that is going to rack up some yards. And you do want to get back to the drawing board and start to think, hey, how can we stop this and stop this? We're not going to see many teams like Kentucky this year. I mean, they were a big physical team. Their quarterback was more impressive than I anticipated. You know, he could make throws, but he made really plays with his legs, and he did it early in the game. And you're right, and I thought with us being more of a zone-type team that we might would have somebody kind of looking out for that quarterback a little more. And unfortunately, he was able to break through and make some really big plays with his legs. And, yeah, you know, so defensively, I do feel good about our defensive line. I think they're going to be okay. But again, you know, start to finish on Saturday, I'm not telling you guys anything that you don't know, but it was an awkward, awkward start to the game. And an awkward delay, right? I mean, two-hour delay. It could have affected us a little differently. Obviously, both teams had to go through it, but it could have affected us a little bit differently. And then early on, when things didn't go our way, man, Kentucky really just got that momentum, and we never could get it back. But I think defensively we're going to be okay. I really do. I think our linebackers move well. Our defensive linemen are they're strong. They're not as big and physical as what Kentucky was. But again, we're not going to face a team like that.
And when you're facing an SEC school, I mean, you have to make those plays to compete. And you're right in saying that, you know, the elements of the game on Saturday were so just not in USM's favor. I mean, everything went against Southern Miss on Saturday night. When you look at everything across the board, it all went against them. And it's really hard to try to pull off an upset when you're 25-point underdogs. I wanted to ask about the run game because I felt like that to me was the most concerning part of the entire game for me, that there was no penetration on the offensive line to run the ball. I think they finished with, you know, whatever it was, 15 yards rushing. And I think Ethan Crawford actually led in rushing. So your thoughts on that as you saw it live?
You know, again, and they couldn't really get any rhythm running. And once again, I mean, I think it's just the defensive front for Kentucky, really, really good. They just were better than our offensive line. And like I said, we're not going to face anybody like that. But you would hope that we would get a little bit of a surge and we would get a little bit of a hole and allow those running backs to break through. But Coach Chip Long's offense, I mean, it's going to be an offense where, you know, we're going to try to run up the middle. We're going to get the backs on the perimeter, whether it be a screen or a toss or a pass in the flats. So we're going to utilize them in ways that will act like runs. They may go down as passes. But, yeah, I think the most concerning thing, too, you're right, Dima, was not really getting that push up front. But, again, against a really, really good Kentucky team. So I know the coaches are back at the drawing board trying to figure out, hey, what do we have to do? Is there certain packages we have to do? Is there, and it may just be the running backs may not be hitting the correct hole. So I don't know from the film perspective, you know, what exactly happened. Was it getting beat totally up front or running backs missing holes, combination of both? Possibly. But I know Coach Long and staff are going to get things rolling this week.
On the film, though, and I think on the flip side of it, I thought the pass protection was pretty good. I mean, I know they gave up two sacks. I mean, as you said, it's a great defensive front, and I think both those sacks were outside of the pocket. So I thought that they gave Rodemaker time to throw the ball.
They did, and I think Kentucky, you know, brought some pressure at the edge, too. I mean, a couple corner blitzes to try to really keep our offense off balance. But I was impressed at the times that they did give him protection, allowed him to stay in the pocket. And again, as I kind of started this segment, talking about his accuracy, when he is upright, can stand, step in a throw, he is very, very accurate. And so that's what's going to have to happen, you know, down the road. But we all know, well, we know the game of football. You have to run. It opens up the pass. And I think as we get better running the football, that will help in that area as well. So, you know, I'm going to take all the positives from this game and kind of move forward with that. And, you know, not going to hold my head. I know the coaching staff's they were disappointed. The players were disappointed. Disappointed. The fans were disappointed. But it's week one of a brand new season. We got 11 more games ahead of us, and I think you're going to see a difference this week.
I want to ask you a general question, a last question for me. You've got about a minute and a half left, Lee, about college football in general, because you played it at a very high level. In a different era, I think it's fair to say, of college football. But I look at all the scores from Saturday, the Power Four, which I guess it is now, against group of five schools, and with one exception, every single game was a terrible blowout, right? So
yeah,
the gap is as wide as it's ever been. Mm-hmm. Just your thoughts about the gap between this Power Four group of schools and the rest of college football league, because it's not just Southern Miss.
No, you're right. I mean, it is. It's all the group of five trying to compete against the Power Four, and you can't do that week in, week out, and I think this is just kind of the beginning of possibly a separation. Will it happen?
Right.
I really don't know. I don't know what the future will look like, but yeah, there is a difference for sure between the Power Four and the Group of Five, and I think it's just going to get worse as well.
Is it just me, or could you physically see the difference on the field when the game started?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's the best of the best. You know, going against really good players too. I mean, I'm confident in our players, but
going
against the SEC, whether it's Kentucky or Alabama or LSU, whoever it is, I mean, they are the elite group of players, and you got to give them credit.
Yeah, short of the South Carolina Old Dominion game, there wasn't a close game in the country. There wasn't a close game in the country. Right, right.
I agree. Totally agree.
Hey, brother, we always enjoy having you. Great to have you back on the show each and every Monday, and I suspect I'll see you Saturday night at the Rockley, Roberts.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Hey, take it easy on the elderly people on the pickleball court all week, please, Lee.
You got it. I'll do my best.
Lee Roberts, everybody, great friend of ours and a great color analyst for Southern Miss Radio. All right, when we come back, I'll get Dima's final thoughts. We'll maybe take a quick look at what happened around the league as well. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, final segment of the show sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. Great place for baseball, softball training. Luke Reynolds is the general manager. Also want to thank our good friends at 4th Street Bar and Grill for hosting us this past Friday. That was fun. Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are the best on the road. And so is their showroom. It is gorgeous. Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg, and they invite you to come by and say hello. Real quick, Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. She will. Or you can go to YouTube, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Audible, Apple, hear the Eagle Hour podcast anytime you like. All right, Demo Mixon, you cover the football team as close as anybody and closer than I do. Your final thoughts about week one?
You know, I guess my thing to the fans are, I don't know what you want them to do. I mean, you're going on the road. It's a late game already. I mean, you're outmatched. I mean, that's a given. And, you know, you get up for a game, then it gets delayed, then you get back up for a game. You have a 10-minute warm-up period. You got to go out there and play an SEC team. You felt like you really competed in that first and second quarter. I mean, like we've talked about on the show, you know, three plays could have made a difference. You know, and people are still saying that they're not coming to any game. I just don't know what you're supposed to do. And I'm going to say this because I just think it's important to note. I think it's really good for the Southern Miss football team that that game was week one. Last season, when they played Florida State in week two after an Alcorn State victory, you know, Mr. Robin, you can give a thought on this. I don't think they ever recovered from that shellacking they got in Tallahassee. So to kind of get this out of the way, you feel like you'll definitely win this week, barring a, you know, catastrophe. So then you get a win under your belt. You get confidence in your team going into what I think is a ginormous home game next Saturday night against South Florida.
Right.
But Southern Miss shouldn't look ahead to that game, I will mention. Looking around the Sun Belt, though, I wanted to kind of note some things. So the Troy Trojans, who by some polls that we've talked about on here, have been picked to win the Sun Belt.
We never did buy that much,
no,
did we?
They lost to Nevada at home to open their season. Mr. Bob, this is true. They go to Memphis this week. So probably Memphis, you take Memphis in that game, 0-2. Then they go to Iowa the next week. I mean, there's a real chance that
0-3.
Troy can start 0-3 before getting into conference play. And that's a team, obviously, that, you know, Southern Miss on their schedule that you might have wrote down as a loss to begin the year.
Right.
You look at Texas State. Texas State was a team that was triumphantly said to be the best team in the Sun Belt. They needed a late touchdown to beat Lamar at home. A late touchdown to beat Lamar. You know, you look at South Alabama. Just
they looked terrible.
They looked awful, and they lost to North Texas at home. Yeah. And their schedule doesn't get any easier. They play at Ohio this weekend. They'll play Northwestern State. They got LSU later on down the road. So you look across the Sun Belt, and I see what Southern Miss did. you're starting to see some fruition to what Will Hall's saying about, hey, maybe in November they are in line to win the West, and and not saying that they are far and away better than some of these teams, but I mean, even you look at Jacksonville State, who just looked terrible last Thursday night against Coastal Carolina, and that's a team on their schedule. You know, you look around the board, you're thinking, man, I mean, I think Southern Miss has a path, and the people who are jumping ship because they got beat in a three-hour rain delay that didn't even play the full game, I mean, honestly, you shouldn't even be watching football at that point if you're going
to
jump ship.
And let me clarify something else I read over the weekend. I don't know why I go back to doing this. That Southern Miss did not forfeit the game.
No.
They did not say, we're going to forfeit the game, we don't want to play anymore. That was a mutual decision, as you heard, made by the Sun Belt, the SEC, University of Kentucky, and Southern Miss. And what are you supposed to do? It's 12:30 in the morning. It's still lightning in the area, so you don't even know if you're going to start at 12:30. At what point do you say, well, let's just keep our kids out here to 4:30 in the morning? That was the only practical thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, and if you kept playing, I mean, it's 31-0. I mean, does 54-0 look any better? I mean, I don't know.
Does getting them back home at 8 o'clock in the morning sound any better? I think they were 3 o'clock getting back as it was.
And again, like Mr. Bob said, they didn't. I don't think they had any choice.
No.
You know, I don't think there was like a, do y'all want to do this? Yeah, sure. So they did not forfeit the game. And Will Holt made that very clear just a minute ago.
And this talk of staying over and playing the next day, that's really not practical when you have 100-plus football players and there's 150 people in your entourage. You don't have hotel reservations.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do except get on the plane and come home? Yeah. Let's get ready to play football the rest of the year, Dima, against teams that this team, I believe, can compete with and win.
Yep. I mean, that's the mantra. And, again, that's why I say I'm glad this happened in week one. You look at the rest of the schedule, there's not a Alabama, Mississippi State. All of these games, Southern Miss should be competitive in, barring maybe App State on the road or Texas State. But, again, even those, you'd feel like that they can compete with them.
Right, no question. All right, we're looking forward to covering it. We'll have Luke Johnson on the show tomorrow. He'll be joining us every Tuesday. No analysis is complete unless you hear from a punter. That's my philosophy. So we're gonna have Luke on the show starting tomorrow. Hey, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. Keep your chin up. Enjoy the rest of your holiday Monday, and Dima and I will be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.